take it away, Katie?
I'll take it away, Calgon, take me away. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Katie.
I'm Sean.
And we're here to talk about things that our opinions don't matter about. Roxy is asleep at our feet. She's been acting real weird. I'm going to open it with puppy parlance, if you're okay. So my mom has her dog Charlotte with her visiting, and Roxy still does not speak dog. Charlotte does not have interest to play with her or to be booped by her, but she continues to try to boop and to try to play. Even though we try to correct the behavior, get her to do something else.
Well, I think what's going on is there's a bit of jealousy between the two dogs, or, you know, they look at privileges, I think. So one dog is a little
small.
Yeah. And she's climbing all over the furniture. And Roxy is not allowed on the furniture. So we
have one dog weighs 12 pounds and our dog weighs 52 pounds.
Yeah. And one has, you know, really sharp nails. So anyways, long story short, last night I let her up for just a second. And then I think what happened is in her mind, she cracked the code. Oh, I can get on the furniture.
But we have them covered in blankets because of my mom's dog. And we have a leather couch and she'll just shred it. So we have it all covered. So we're like, okay, well, she can come up for a second. But now she just thinks she can go anywhere.
The privilege has been rescinded.
We should never have, yeah.
I rescind it.
I rescind the privilege. But other than that, they're getting along okay.
No. It's a nightmare.
It's just, it's constant.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's dogs.
I'm hoping she'll grow out of it. Christoph has said, you know, everybody's told me that they kind of grow out of it. Even my friends with dogs are like, you know, it takes 2 years for them to stop chewing up random things, which she has never done, really.
It takes two to tango. I learned that in Lady and the Tramp.
But then it's like 4 years before they are like relaxed.
Right. Well, anyways, they're good on a walk together, but other than that, they don't
cooperate. Or hunting together.
Yes.
But if there was something out, I think it's dead or gone, but there was something that was under our porch. I suspect it was a rat. Raton. But anyway, they like banded together to kill the thing. Other than that,
they did a mortal enemies. And then when it was over, they went back to fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a thing. But other than that, she's been fine. But I was thinking we might want to take her to daycare so she can get her yagas out.
She's not allowed going to daycare.
No, a different one, brand new one. They don't know her yet.
Right.
Anyways, so that's been our life. Also, I've just been feeling, I'm going to vent a little, hang with me. I've been feeling like I'm just behind on everything and there's not enough hours or concentration in my brains to make it happen. Does anybody else feel this way?
Stretch it out, slow it down, make your goals can still be your goals, but give yourself a longer runway to get to them.
Yeah, but some things have deadlines, you know?
They're self-imposed deadlines.
Yes and no, but I got shit to do. I'm working on my book proposal. We're going to launch a new workshop. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. And we have videos, you know, and things. So it's a lot.
Yeah. I've got a mountain of work on my desk. But, you know, people are here to listen to me complain.
Construction complaints, should we call?
I don't know who to file those complaints with.
Who do we file? If you tell us where to send the complaints.
Yeah. Roll it real tight really and tight. Stuff it in the trash. No, it's all anyways, good. I'm just...
Our studio build is still happening.
Yeah. I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. I'm not here to complain. A lot of people get up at 6 in the morning. I'm not the best morning
person. He doesn't go to bed at a reasonable
last night was midnight. I was fine.
No, I went to bed at midnight.
Yeah, I was right behind you.
He always does that. It means like an hour and a half.
No, last night was pretty close. Anyway.
I am suspicious. And we've been getting a lot of rain here in Austin. It's been nice.
Well, I'm
just transitioning.
I love the rain.
I do. It's so nice. And that's made it hard to get out of bed too because it's like dark. Also to the time change. Speaking of which, a member of our community that I was just chatting with, she was saying that they voted to stop
rain.
No, the time change.
Oh yeah, they talk about that all the time.
Next year, 2023, it starts. They've suspended
where?
Everywhere in the States.
Oh, okay, but do they do it elsewhere in the world?
They do it in Australia and they do it in Canada.
I know that, but you know, what about Zimbabwe?
I don't know. Anybody out there? Do they do it where you... I think, do they do it in like Europe and stuff? I don't know.
My Zimbabweans, tell me. Is that what you call people from Zimbabwe?
I don't know, honey. I've only known of people when
Zemanites? Zimbabweans?
Zimbabweans. Sounds like a science. But do you guys have the time change, meaning daylight savings time? Do you have that where you are? I honestly call it seasonal affective disorder, personally. In the fall, when you fall back that hour,
it's hard to get back up again.
Mm-hmm. I just can't get back up. But it means that then the sun, instead of going down at like 7:30, and your sister and I were talking about this last night, all of a sudden it goes from 7:30, the sun going down, to like 5 o'clock. Somehow 1 hour translates into, you know, like 2.5. The sun's like,
heliocentric math works in wonders. Mm. You know, it's an interesting science.
It's like the sun's like, fuck this, I'm out. Bye. And then you're like, why is it already dark? It's time to go to bed. And it's like 5:30.
Speaking of the sun.
Yes.
You know, I geek out on science-y articles that you I do. Don't understand, by the way, but I love reading them anyways.
That's why we have Ben. Ben helps us make sense of things.
Absolutely. I was reading about a star that's the biggest explosion that's been recorded so far.
And stars are all explosions, correct?
No, stars are, I don't know if all of them are, but they're reactions.
On fire? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a nuclear reaction, I think.
Nuclear.
But the largest one ever, mm-hmm. as long as we've been looking anyways, just happened. And wow, it was a big one.
We're wrong. So a star is an astronaut. Are you just throwing out science words?
No, it's...
Star is an astronomical object comprising of luminous spheroid of plasma held together by its gravity. The nearest star to the Earth is the sun.
Yeah, but it's also on fire, right?
Well, it's a luminous spheroid. I'm going to look up
spheroid?
What it is. Spheroid.
It's round. Maybe.
Spheroid, also known as ellipsoid of revolution or rotational ellipsoid, is a quadratic... Could they use any worse words? Is a quadratic surface obtained by rotating an ellipse about one of its principal axes. In other words, this round object
globe
with two equal has circular symmetry. So it's a ball. Why don't they just say things more normally? It's just, I'm already annoyed. It's like a rugby ball is what it looks like to me.
Mm.
That's when it's a spheroid is rotating on its axis. You guys, like somebody.
I think all planetary objects are spheroids. Spheroids?
Spheroidical? There's also star catalogs that astronomers have assembled.
Oh.
So that the known stars.
Mm-hmm? If I wanted to name a star after you?
Oh, you can do that, you know?
I know, but does it go to their catalog?
Probably not. Oh. I'm pretty sure like 75,000 other people.
You think there's just one person that just is like taking down the entries? Right. Oh, we got another sale. Oh,
this one's Phil.
We should start selling stars.
To Phil from Susie.
I'm sorry, that star's already been taken. Would you care for Alpha Zeta Reticuli?
This is what I was thinking of. A star's life begins with the gravitational collapse of a gaseous nebula.
Does the stork then bring it to the mommy and daddy?
Yes, but only if the mommy and daddy have fallen in on each other. So a gaseous nebula of material composed primarily of hydrogen, along with helium and trace amounts of heavier elements.
Oh.
So that's it.
And then when does the fusion happen? Because that's the engine, right? That's going on.
I don't see anything about this. It says its total mass. So the total mass of the star is the main factor in determining its evolution and its eventual fate. Because some of them burn out or
whatever.
A star shines for most of its active life due to the thermonuclear fusion of hydrogen into helium.
There you go.
So it's the hydrogen in its core.
Yeah.
This process releases energy that transverses the star's interior and radiates it out.
And then when it collapses on itself, then it becomes a
black hole?
Maybe. You know. I think they just photographed a black hole too, which was fascinating. Anyways, so
we got off on a tangent.
They had the big explosion. That was a big one. And then in the same article, they were talking about the size of some of these objects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These spheroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. These spheroids are very, very big. No, like 100,000 times larger than ours. And ours is big, pretty fucking big compared to the Earth. Can you imagine?
What do you mean ours?
Oh, our sun.
Oh, it's the sun.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
ours is pretty boring, by the way, from what the way they describe it. It's like a common in a boring part of the
galaxy. Well, I think boring is good, and that's why we don't cook.
Yeah, that's good. It doesn't fart out a lot of...
I don't really want it Like, I don't want to be
dangerous gamma rays.
The earth shouldn't be a rotisserie, you know?
Welcome to Science Chat with your host.
I know we need Sue, Science Wanker, and Ben to like weigh in on all the shenanigans we've just said.
Yeah.
So okay. Anyway, there was a huge explosion. What else?
Oh, a huge explosion, and not much else was happening in space. It was kind of a boring week for it. I mean, there's, you know, some stuff, some objects,
and
there was a meteor shower somewhere, and there was like a
solar we've been getting wind. Rain finally here, and that's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love the rain. I was thinking we don't have enough rain noise coming into the house, though, so hear me out on this. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about making a rain-enhancing device, which would basically be a post that sticks in the soil.
Okay.
And on top of the post, I would take like a sheet of tin, you know, a 4x4.
Like a small tin roof?
Yeah, exactly. A portable tin roof. But we just put it outside the window so you hear it. It would be...
I mean, you might as well just make an eave over our window just to make it useful, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. There's that. But I just thought a stick that you plant in the garden and you lift it up.
You plant a stick in the garden?
Do you hope
that it grows?
You put the... Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not a very good device. But I could probably go on Shark Tank and make a million with that.
I'm
looking to raise $100 million.
They have a lot of questions that you wouldn't have answers to.
It's a drug that gives your girlfriend worms.
Have you guys seen... Is that brain candy? Is that... Or is it just one of the kids in the hall?
Brain candy.
Highly recommend. Speaking of shows, I've been watching a new show. Have you watched any new shows? I've heard of a few things. First of all, I'll give out some recommendations that I've heard from my friends that I have not checked out yet. Cabinet of Curiosities. It's coming hot. A lot of people are talking about it. Harriet was telling me how great it is.
What is it? Is it sci-fi? Is it romance, rom-com?
I think it's like mystery. But I don't know for sure. And then we've been told, and even Christina just told me the other day, she's like, have you watched What We Do in the Shadows or whatever? Everybody's told us and we haven't watched it. Is it on HBO?
Movie was fantastic. So she's talking about the TV show?
I don't know. I think so. She said, have you watched it? But that could have been, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't know there were two things. She said it was funny. Does that change the thing?
Tell you what I do in the shadows. I jump out at people.
Sean, you're so easy to scare.
I know.
But I've been watching The Sinner, and I have to be honest, it is an amazing show. You haven't wanted to get into it for whatever reason, but it's one of those where they're slowly but surely revealing more of the backstory or of characters, and you're like, what? What? Like every single episode, you're like shocked.
Are you going to talk about it on your regular videos?
No.
Would this be a show that you would... No. Discuss? No.
No, because they cut us off. They don't let us do that anymore.
Mm.
If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, whenever you show clips of any shows, they like don't allow you to do it.
What if you did a react video on TikTok? Can you do it there?
Maybe, but you can't really show any clips.
Oh. Okay.
So anyways, I've been watching that. So if you're looking for something, although I will admit the first season, if you have any kind of like sexual trauma, don't watch it because it might be a little like, a little triggering, not because it happens in there, but I think there could be certain situations in which you'd be like, you know. So
why is it? I think so. In that, I'll just back that up.
Yes.
That happened around a cult. Is that correct?
That's the second season.
Oh, I thought it was the first season.
No, the first season is Jessica Biel, who's an executive producer on the show. She's the main character, Cora. Hmm. And you're just learning about her.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Never mind.
It's very good. I highly recommend. Honestly, the first season is probably the most like, and then, yeah. But the third is my least favorite.
This is The Sinner?
Mm-hmm.
How many seasons are we on?
Four.
Four.
And there's 8 episodes per season.
Is it done after 4?
I don't know. They just released it. So I don't know if they're signed up for season 5 yet. It came off of USA and Netflix picked it up. So it must have been doing well.
And who's the lead character? Is that Yul Brynner?
I don't think so. Hold on.
Madoff? Bernie Madoff?
No. Okay. Bill Pullman.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to pull it from my brains. But yeah, so Bill Pullman, he's the main character in all of them. He's the detective that you're following.
Yeah, he's such a good actor. I always get him mixed up for some reason in my head with Bill Paxton, and he passed away. But
he passed away?
Yeah, unfortunately. He was so nice. Nice guy.
Did you meet him at the Newport Beach Film Festival?
I did. Several years in a row. He would come by and he'd be like, Sean. No, that's not true. But we did talk to him quite a bit. So,
how did he die already? Wasn't he young?
I think he had a massive heart attack or something.
Holy shit. Yeah.
I know. He was
2017.
Yeah. And he's like in his 50s or mm-hmm. something. Too young.
Yeah. He was 61.
I think everyone should get at least 100 years.
At least 100.
Because you want to start figuring yourself out when you're in your 70s. I mean,
70s. Some people shouldn't get 100 years, like, you know, like Jeffrey Dahmer or some shit like that.
Oh, no. He should get 100 years. What would you do if you could catch a serial killer before they do anything?
There's a lot of ethical questions about that.
What would you do with it?
Or yeah, it? Like if you, like this, I would love to hear people's takes on this because there's a lot of conversation in the psychological community / ethics community. Mm-hmm. And if you take an ethics course, I'm sure they've posed some of these questions. It's almost like the, what's that ethical question that they always pose about the train? And it's like you could kill one person that you know or five people you don't know.
Oh, yeah. You switch tracks.
Mm-hmm.
At the last second, you have to pull the lever. Mm-hmm. Didn't they do that on The Good Place?
Yes.
And they screwed it up every time?
Well, it's just always different and the outcome always sucks. There's right. essentially saying there's no right choice to make.
Right.
But there's an ethical question. I don't remember where this came from, but around the thought or the question of if you could find Stalin or Jeffrey Dahmer or the Green River Killer or any number of bad people in the world, there's been quite a few, right? Hitler, for example. If you could find them when they're like a child,
oh,
should you kill them?
No, because you don't know where, you know, at what point they mm-hmm. become a bad person. So I'm sure this is gonna be controversial,
but people are saying, and I understand your side, but people are saying that you know they're gonna be who they are, who they've become.
Yeah, but then what if you get it wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, so at some point, let's say time travel is possible, mm-hmm. and you go down the wormhole or whatever. That's
kind of the question. If you go back in time and find them, should you just kill them then?
Yeah, in Quantum Leap, you would go back in time to set things right.
Mm-hmm.
But
what was right according to him, or according to fix that news? So the newspaper. So no, yeah. That's Early Edition. Sorry,
what I
not
do.
Quantum Leap. I watched Early Edition.
Oh,
same type of idea. Continue. Sorry.
No, I just don't know if you. You don't know when the person becomes bad or if they're bad from the beginning, but mm-hmm. the things they're doing that are bad are kind of benign. Like, was Hitler always a douche? I don't know, you know?
But he became a pretty bad dude.
Horrible, so, horrible, horrible person. But it's a moral mm-hmm. dilemma.
But that's question. Why it's a moral dilemma.
Yeah, no, you definitely kill that guy, you know? But you don't kill a kid. I mean, you don't know.
Well, no, but you have to, so then.
Oops, we got the wrong Adolf. Sorry.
So then the argument would be, so you have to wait for them to hurt somebody else before you take action, or they have to do something bad before you take action. And people are like, oh no, kill him, you know? But then other people, and I don't know. To be honest, in my own brain, I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, because again, what's the margin of error?
No, this is like 0%. Like, you know that they're going to do it. It's like you're going back in time.
Oh,
that you know that that's Hitler.
Yeah, you probably have to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. sound callous, but hey, you know.
I mean, people who torture and kill other people, but he didn't do it alone. So oh, would no. someone else rise up?
No, you'd have to. If you get that technology, you have to go get all of them, you know.
But then it starts to get, then who's the mass murderer? Then you're the one.
Yeah, but if you're mass murdering Nazis, I mean, what's the difference, you know?
Between so you're like Dexter?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's tricky, guys, right? Like, it's hard for me to, you know, because you could take an easy, like, yeah, kill them. Obviously, they killed thousands of people, of course.
What if you have to do it?
But then what if, because it's almost like we just watched The Interview again. Highly recommend that film. So stupid and funny. But when Kim Jong-un's character is killed, the woman stays behind because she's like, there's going to be a vacuum for power and I want to make sure it doesn't go to one of his henchmen kind of thing. And she rises up. So if you do take out a Hitler or a Stalin, now we're talking more like politically people in power kind of thing, you want to make sure that you don't leave a vacuum for other, because then another person, instead of Adolf Hitler being the one, it could have been, I don't know, you know what I mean?
His right.
Who turned out to be a secondhand man in the
Goebbels, that piece of shit.
I don't know, but yes.
Yeah.
But in regular stuff like a Jeffrey Dahmer situation.
Who's his number two? Serial killers are always, you know,
they don't always have a number two.
Yeah.
Some of them do, but not always. So then you think, well, then just take them out. And that's a little easier for me because I'm like, well, they acted alone. You could take that out.
This is a fascinating topic.
These are things I think about randomly.
Right. Offing bad people.
Well, if you could, would you? Yeah. You know, or if you could go back even in your own life, because I've thought about that. Maybe it's the therapist in me where I'm like, well, if you could go back and undo that one trauma or that one bad thing.
The do-over button?
Mm-hmm.
Beep, boop.
Would you? Could you? And sometimes the answer is, of course, that was horrible. And then other times it's like, well, no, because then I wouldn't have met this person. I wouldn't have done that. It changes the course of your life.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Back to the Future was a good film, you know?
It was. We watched The Addams Family.
Oh, it's great.
I had Addams Family-like dreams, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, we also dressed up as Gomez and Tisha. But I like he calls her Tish. I think you should, when we dress up again, just call me Tish next Halloween.
Okay.
Anyway, we watched it. And the one who plays Uncle Fester, who I believe in the story is actually Uncle Fester.
Yeah, I kind of missed that at the end of it. They did the reveal really quickly.
Well, it was just a short little thing where he said, it turns out his mom did find him because she said, like, I should have left you or something. Or You've always been a weight on me, whatever. Such an asshole. But apparently she found him.
In the Bermuda Triangle?
In some fishing nets. But he had amnesia. So She just told him that she was his mom and she adopted him and blah, blah. But it actually was Uncle Fester.
That was also Doc Brown from
Back to the Future. But that's where I was going with this.
Oh.
Connected to Back to the Future.
He was so good in Taxi. That's the first thing I think saw him. Did you watch Taxi, the TV show?
It creeped me out.
No. The TV show with Danny DeVito.
No.
There are taxi cab drivers back in the day. Tony Danza's in there.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
That's right. Should we get into some news items?
Let's get into some news.
All right. Let's see here. The first thing I saw this week that was really interesting in news was the Air Force insists that the penis-shaped flight path aimed at Russian base in Syria was not intentional. So basically they...
But if you go out and back, it's going to look phallic.
Right? Yeah, but they also drew balls.
did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's funny.
And then
they're
like, no, we didn't do it on purpose. But they're like, the Russians are like, look, dude, stop drawing penis flight paths over.
That's so petty and funny.
Apparently, it's not the first time this has happened, though. Apparently, the Air Force does this quite often. So,
Sue, was it you? Are you sending the wanker sign to Russia?
Right. Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
So anyways.
That's hilarious.
I came up with a title. I thought
that some guys are in a plane. They're like.
Oh, yeah. A couple of views and butt heads in the Air Force. Yeah. Work the shaft.
Wait. Do it again. I die.
So I thought their title was pretty boring. No, Air Force insists penis shape. I thought maybe instead of that, we should have said Top Gun or Top Dong. You know, that would be the, no?
We could workshop it more.
Okay. Well, we'll move on because that was a terrible line. This next one I called Looking for a Prince. But the actual headline is the National Park Service wants humans to stop licking this toad.
Why would you lick it? Aren't you supposed to kiss a toad?
Well, that's it. Are you looking, you know, that's what I thought.
Are you looking to catch COVID?
Right. Yeah, you're going to make a new COVID. So basically, there's a toad, the Sonoran toad.
Okay.
And
where is the Sonoran toad? What is so
in
special?
Sonora or something in the Sonoran desert? But basically, people go hunting for this toad. See, and they
like a live toad.
Yeah,
is it poisonous?
A totoso.
Well,
it secretes a magical compound
that makes you hallucinate a boyfriend or a girlfriend,
right?
Or a person in your life.
Yeah, but you got to kiss a toad first, right?
What?
So yeah, it secretes 5-MeO-DMT.
Oh my god!
I think the 5-MeO version of DMT is super strong. It's also known as like the God molecule or whatever.
Yeah, but
makes
people
it your
are
balls.
Getting super high.
Yeah, but first you got to lick the toad.
Super high.
I mean,
I'm
how,
not licking any toads.
No, how badly do you want to get high that you got to kiss a toad? You know.
Also,
get a
like,
runner's high. Get into running or something.
No, that's for assholes. Why would you? That's so bizarre to me. First of all, even just the thought of licking a slimy animal like a toad or an amphibian, is that what they are? Gross.
I know. It's probably it It's got to be like boogers, right?
But then the fact you have to like find them in the wild and like somehow catch them. And this poor toad is just like, I was licked yesterday. Give me a break. And what if he doesn't have enough of the stuff that they, so you're like, well, that was a dud.
Right, right.
Came all this way.
I don't think you have to do much of the toad. I think it's like a little, just a little taste.
And what does it do to the toad? Poor toad.
I don't think it does much. I think it's just like, you know.
It's like, whatever.
An excretion on its skin. I believe the first time I heard of this, by the way, was Mike Tyson.
Are there plenty of these toads, by the way? Are they extinct?
I think probably there's a bunch of stoners out there, you know.
Licking some toads. That's what I'm worried about, the safety of our toads.
I know.
Protect our toads.
And they're in like the national parks, you know. And so then yeah. You have the park rangers. Hey, you stoner, what are you doing over there? Nothing, man.
Yeah. It's got a toad hanging from its mouth.
I'm just going to kiss it.
Just real quick. Gross.
Yeah. Mike Tyson was talking about it once. And I guess this changed his life, DMT. And we won't get into DMT or whatever. But
it's interesting if you want to read about it. You know.
It's interesting as a way of describing it, right?
Well, I've been talking to lots of members of our community who've been trying to wean down on certain medication and increasing in other more natural thing, not like DMT, but like, you know, getting into the trials with the psilocybin or doing ketamine infusions, all obviously, you know,
supervised.
Yeah, supervised is part of it, but I was just going to say like allocated out, like measured. You know, not like licking a toad, like you know what amount you're getting, like the milligrams. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
What's the word I'm looking
Dosage?
For?
Dosage?
Yeah. It's dosed out properly.
How much is a first time user going to take?
How much do you recommend?
3 licks of the toad.
Just the tip of your, just for a second. We don't want to overdo it.
3 licks and you can read the thoughts of those around you.
Oh, it's like that one show with Mel Gibson
and
where
you die.
What?
Yeah.
So
a spiritual death, not a.
Oh. But I've heard from members of our community they're doing that, so it's interesting. So I think people would be interested in DMT, is what I'm saying.
Oh, 100%. I mean, so, when you hear people talk about it, you're like, that sounds fascinating.
So what did Mike Tyson, how did he do it?
He smoked the toad. Not the whole toad.
Did they kill him? And then
No. The excretion, I think they
extract it.
Take a rolling paper. I don't know. What do they do? I think they just take like a little liquid.
Q-tip?
Yeah, a Q-tip. Maybe that's the way they get it. And then,
is this safe for the toads?
I don't know.
What are these toads called?
Sonoran toad.
Okay, continue. So anyway, so he smoked the DMT excretion.
Yeah. And hearing him talk about it was very interesting because he said, listen, he has a raging ego and he's very aggressive. And this allowed him to, he said it humbled him. It made him.
Can you imagine licking that thing?
That's kind of cute.
That's a Sonoran toad.
A toad of soap. What's that from? Oh, is that Ricky from Trailer Park Boys?
Uh-huh. It is. Of course
Instead
it is.
Instead of I told you so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's found in northern Mexico in the southwestern United States and is notable for exuding toxins from glands within its skin that have psychoactive properties.
DMT isn't everything, by the way. That's another thing. The pineal gland, mm-hmm. I believe, produces it. And
Oh, wow. They admit a weak, low-pitched toot.
Me too.
That can make someone sick if they touch it or lick it. Oh, interesting.
You can lick it. You can.
You can't. You might get sick.
Super.
It's one of the largest toads. It's one of the largest toads, you guys. Nearly 7 inches long.
I don't even know.
It's also called the Colorado River toad.
Isn't the Colorado River right here? Maybe we have these in our backyard.
We are kind of in south. We're not in southwest.
Hmm.
But we're close to Mexico.
It's probably like
we used to be part of Mexico.
Big Bend National Park or whatever. Or what is that? Yeah, Big Bend.
Yeah, probably over there.
It's probably mm-hmm. there.
So is peyote?
Yeah, I believe that. What is that on a cactus?
I think it's a little baby cactus. Looks like a little nub. We watched it in that How to Change Your Mind.
Oh, yeah, Netflix the peyote special. Buttons.
Yeah, the buttons. I was like, there was a word they called
it. And San Jacinto cactus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's like everyone has it.
Yeah.
Once I saw that on the thing, I was like, oh my God, was everyone growing drugs in Southern California? Probably, you know, everything's legal there now.
So people say stop milking the toads or they're going to die out, say wildlife conservationists.
Oh.
It's threatening the survival of the species.
Leave the toads alone.
Stop milking the toads for the love of God.
And I believe you can make DMT from other things like Mimosa histolis, which is a bark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why not just like get high on your own supply of air?
That's what I'm talking about.
Stop licking things. Yeah.
And also, I think it's just because it's such a quick fix, you know? But breathing exercises apparently get you real high.
We talked about this, I think, on the podcast, but sometimes Sean and I find ourselves in these very strange, especially in LA. Maybe now that we're in Texas, it'll be strange in its own way. But over the years, because I'd like to think it's because we're just like non-judgmental. We like a lot of people and we're always like, sure, we'll go to your party or thing. We found ourselves in some very
cult-like
hokey,
characters.
Pajokey, yeah, kind of woo-woo-y. Everything from like someone selling crystals to a dude who makes this really bizarre art to another dude who does breathing exercises. And we found ourselves in this event eating vegan, non-dairy situational food, which was fine and delicious, drinking kombucha, doing some crazy breathing exercises. And you do get high on your own supply.
Yeah, at first I thought, oh, they're just going to make you hyperventilate. Like, that's the gimmick. Mm-hmm. But it turned out it was more than that. Like, you really find some strange space. And
It, like, chilled me the fuck out. Yeah. I do yoga. You guys know I've been practicing yoga for, like 15 years or more. Mm. And you do, Brian Kest, my favorite yoga instructor, he always says, you'll walk out of here high on oxygen. That's what he always says. And you do. You're like, it's interesting. And it's not hyperventilation because in yoga, it's very slow. I mean, you can do the breath of fire where you go, but that's not what we're talking about. But you can still leave, like, you just like float on out.
Yeah, you hyperoxygenate.
I like it.
There you go, kids. Leave the toads alone. Start breathing more. Mm-hmm. Get outside. Stay away from the toads.
Yep.
Breathe more.
No licking toads. But Sue or Ben or anybody, do you have any examples? Have you licked a toad? But more importantly, tell us the reasons that we got high on our own supply, if anybody knows.
Mm.
I'm interested.
Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of getting baked, let's see here. Two California bakers created a life-size Han Solo out of bread.
Oh, wow.
Han Solo may be a hunk, but Pan Solo is a hunk of bread. That's what a bakery in San Francisco Bay Area has done.
That's a good, I like that. That's a fun, clickable title.
Yeah, I enjoy it. You know, give me some good news.
Hunka, hunka.
So it's a 6-foot tall bread sculpture of the Star Wars character as he appeared after being frozen in carbonite.
Why are they doing this though? Is it kind of a waste of things?
Only waste if you don't eat it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, you know, when you see chefs, they make, we made a 30,000 pound paella.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I don't like paella to begin with. 30,000 pounds, that's a lot of paella.
That's a lot of
paella. I'm just going to pick through it and get the shrimp. Maybe a little tomato sauce. But I don't need all that rice, you know? So anyways, check this out. Look what he looks like.
I love the rice.
Look, that's the face. So it's pretty accurate. Looks like Han Solo.
It's also like shiny.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they made like a sheet pancake. Let's see.
They
spent weeks molding it, baking and assembling the life-size sculpture using wood and two types of dough, including a type of yeastless dough with a higher sugar content that will last longer.
Mm. Wow. But see, it says wood, so you can't eat it.
No, I think that's just to keep the edges square.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe they put frosting on it.
Mm. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Han's frosting solo. Anyways.
What else is in the news?
Can you keep a secret?
That one kind of fell flat. Okay. Uh-huh.
Can you keep a secret?
Of course. You guys, can you keep a secret?
Drum roll, please, Katie. We have not won the Powerball jackpot. We have not won it.
Well, you know why we didn't win it is because we didn't play.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to buy a ticket. I said it the other day. I was like, we just got to get one ticket.
We've been to the town where this ticket was bought, though.
Where was the ticket bought?
The ticket was bought in California, in Altadena.
I've been to Altadena.
Right.
It's honestly, cool bar. It feels so different than LA. And I know if you're not from Los Angeles, you look on a map, you're like, it's not that far. It's far.
Mm-hmm.
You drive and drive and drive and drive out highways where you're like, does anybody even drive on these highways? And then you find yourself in Pasadena and you're like, I love Pasadena. I've been here before. And you go through it. And you're like, I am further, and I'm in a place called Altadena where they make milk.
It was so cool. I loved it. Anyways, there's somebody there that has $2.04 billion.
Good for them.
In the form of a piece of paper.
I hope somebody helps them save that and not like be like, woohoo, go hog wild.
Here's where
also,
winning
how much
the lottery
do they lose in taxes?
Half of it.
Sons of bitches. Still
whatever,
a lot of money.
Still got $1 billion dollars left to play
it's
with.
A lot of billion with a B, you guys. A B as in boy, oh boy, am I rich.
Yeah. You know how when I think something's important, I tend to hide it. I squirrel it away so that it doesn't get stolen or doesn't get misplaced.
I don't know if you really did that recently, but okay, yes. Yes, I do concur. Sean squirrels things away. And I think the problem with it now is you used to always squirrel it away into that bookcase that we had. And then we didn't move with that bookcase because, spoilers, it was from IKEA. And I'm glad we didn't because I don't know where the fuck we would have put it. But anyways, we did not move that. We gave it away. This guy came and picked it up and took it apart. It was amazing. And so Sean doesn't have a squirrel place anymore. So he squirrels things randomly.
Yeah. But I have that need to hide things.
Yeah.
Or to put them away. I mean, I put it away. I'm going to put my keys away.
But it's not like organized or anything.
No. And PJ made a good point. PJ said, you know, and he said this to you, you know, it would be a lot easier if he had one place he put his keys instead of six.
I was like, damn straight. Because mine always go back into my purse.
Yeah.
Yours is like, is it up on the counter in the kitchen? Is it in your office? Is it on your dresser? Is it on your nightstand? Or is it in a pair of your pants that you forgot to take it out of?
So that'd be the problem with me winning the lottery. I would hide the ticket until I had to turn it into the proper authorities, right?
You should give it to me because you'll lose it.
Well, yeah, but what if...
Oh my God, did we tell them that you locked...
Yeah.
We talked about the safe already?
The safe, yeah, last week.
So
I still have
a good example. And it's still locked in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, would you squirrel away? You never told them why. You were bringing that up?
No, well, the lottery ticket, I would probably squirrel it away because it's so important. I'm like, I'm going to put it somewhere that only I will remember, like the bookcase, for instance.
We talked about the mom grass and the dad grass last time. Sean was talking to everybody about it because he's like, I'm going to try this. It's going to help my feet. It's amazing. Blah, blah. Their marketing's beautiful. It's amazing. And then he immediately was like, Katie, where'd the dad grass go? So the mom grass tin is golden. The dad grass tin is red. I said, well, I just saw it sitting out here the other day. My mom said the same thing. And we couldn't find it.
Couldn't find the red
tin.
And
then I said, well, could it be? I said, these are the places it could be. I went and checked. And I said, the only other thing is it's in a pants pocket or a jacket pocket or something like that. And Sean goes, he goes into the bedroom and comes out with a dad grass.
The odd thing was, it doesn't get you high. So I don't know how I lost it. It's just I absent-mindedly put things away. I'm in the autopilot when I put things away.
You didn't put it away. I've learned this because I've lived with you for many, many moons. But whenever Sean's like, we need to tidy up, I'm like, I'll take care of it because he will just shove shit everywhere and we'll never find it again.
That's true. You know,
I should just give you a basket and be like, put everything you want to put away in this basket and then I'll go and put it where it needs to be.
But what if I need to go through the basket? You're going to have to go gather everything, put it back in the basket, and then I dig through it?
No, but if you have things, you're like, oh, I need to tidy up. I'll be like, put everything that needs tidying in the basket.
Right.
And then I'll go put it in its proper place.
Okay.
Because then you'll inevitably go looking for it, and it'll be where it should be.
Oh. Yeah, I just need to get better about putting things away. But it's so funny because I squirrel things away everywhere. That's the problem with this house is that there's that many more cabinets. In Santa Monica, we had like four drawers.
Yeah.
There's like 200 drawers. That's, you know what?
It's all coming back to him now, you guys.
That's where it is. That's where that thing is. It's in the drawer. Mm-hmm. Which drawer? I don't know. I remember putting it in it. No. Drawers have always fascinated me. As a kid, I remember going through all the drawers at my grandmother's house because it's always different. Someone else's junk, you know, and they had like old remotes or.
So it's old junk that fascinates you, not drawers.
Oh, yeah. I love like.
Drawers are silly. It's just, it pulls out, it goes in. It's a drawer.
Yeah, but going through the drawer.
Yes, this is stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what Cabinet of Curiosity is all about. Maybe. We should do our own version.
Maybe. Do a little skit.
Yeah.
Called Sean's Cabinets of Curiosity. What did we find today that he did not put away properly?
Right.
You don't like the way that took a turn.
You turned on me. I thought we were doing this together. It would be fun. And then you threw me underneath the bus.
You already threw yourself under the bus.
I'm just kidding. I'm not offended.
No, but it is interesting. I don't know why you do what you do with stuff, but.
Why do you do the things you do?
Well, some people say it's ADHD as to why it's hard to put things back in place. Any of my ADHD folks out there, do you feel that? Other people, what?
Well, when you do discover the stuff that you had mm-hmm. put away. Man, the reward is so high. It feels so good.
But that's because you lost it.
I know.
It and feels the pressure good to... was on to find it.
Like when I lose my wallet, for instance, in the
all
house.
The time, all yeah. the time.
And I'm looking for it. And you look everywhere three times. Mm-hmm. And then you discover it. That pleasure center lights up like, oh, nobody's business. It's amazing. Like,
that's so silly. Oof,
a big firework in your head. You're like, oh my, I found it. But the stress leading up stress, to it.
I'm going
to
say the
because it plunges you to the depth.
Outweigh of, the pros.
Like, oh my God, I lost my wallet and the
I
cards.
I have to redo all the cards and my license and
what. You're just spinning. Mm-hmm. You're spinning and you're like, oh, please, dear baby Jesus, help
me find
it. You should
put tiles in everything of yours.
I know.
Does this tile want to sponsor us?
That's a good idea. Or Apple AirTag me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put them everywhere.
I know, track my stuff.
And I'll have Roxy, I'll be like, she's in the house and it's like Sean's shit's everywhere.
Right.
Okay. Oh, funny. Does anybody else struggle with that? I think it's more because you're more of like the ADHD type. I'm more of like the OCD type. So I like things back where
it's
they.
It's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters. But I like things in their place because when I go to find things or when I go to order, because I'm the orderer for our home. So I'll look for like, I have to make a Target order. So I'm like, okay, we need toilet paper. Okay, do we need, and I start going through things. And if something's not there, I'm like, oh, we're out of this. I need to order it. And then we end up with double.
Yeah, see, I think what's happening here, mm-hmm. I'm no scientist, but if I put a little electrode on your melon, mm-hmm. or maybe three electrodes.
Might need more than three, I don't know.
Yeah, and we're measuring the activity. Mm-hmm. I suspect that your pleasure center is always humming at like 70%. You're like, I'm making a list. I'm checking things off.
That's true.
I've opened the drawer and everything is in an order.
Is that my ditty?
Yeah. And me, I'm like, no. where is it?
Doing gloom.
And then bah, 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 when you find it, you know, like, and things light up and then like, it plunges. Yeah. I always had this feeling growing up, like sometimes you're on the feeling of being on a roller coaster.
You've told me this. I don't feel that in my life.
It's going up and you're like the anxiety and then you're like, oh man. And then,
oh no.
But the plunge is pretty bummer. It's a bummer.
Yeah. See, I don't have that up and down. I am humming along pretty good.
Yeah.
And then if something doesn't go right, I like, and it like takes me a while to climb back up.
Oh.
But then if something goes well, like I'm writing my book proposal.
Yes.
And if I was able to get it finished, like whatever day I finish it, I'll be like, oh, and I'll go up another like 10 steps.
I can't imagine that feeling that because it's not bad either way. Mm-hmm. You know what, the way people,
but we just don't have, you experienced it something different. So yeah. It's like, I can't imagine it your way. You can't imagine it my way. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Tell me what you experience. Let's share in our experiences.
All right. We have one more story. Okay. And I call it diabetes be damned.
Oh, I have an interesting article I read. Continue.
No, go ahead. What's up?
No, on top of that, you do yours first.
Okay. Diabetes be damned.
Be damned.
Katie, mm-hmm. did you know that you can get paid to eat candy as a Canadian company's chief candy officer?
That sounds dangerous.
That's right. Turns out you might be able to eat candy for a living and make thousands of dollars in the process. Canada's Candy Funhouse is hiring a chief candy officer, according to a recent job posting on their website.
What?
Do you love all things candy and chocolate?
I love chocolate. I don't really like candy so much.
Are you passionate?
Unless it's Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-huh. Am I passionate? Okay.
Are you passionate about confectionery treats and exploring unreleased and existing products?
Ooh.
If so, this may be the perfect position for you. That's what the LinkedIn description reads. The Ontario-based company said the position pays $100,000.
I'm just kidding.
Unfortunately, you have to be a Leafs fan and eat a lot of candy.
No.
But it pays $100,000. So that's not bad. That's pretty darn good.
Like, do you have to... I just can't imagine. I would probably get sick of it. That's the problem with any kind of job like that. Where you start, like, let's say it was pizza. I love pizza. I'd be like, fuck yeah. Give me all the pizza. And then you're like tasting. Are you like a wine sommelier where you like sip it and spit it out?
Oh, yeah. This would be.
You know, I have questions.
Never spit out pizza.
But you get sick of it. Mm-hmm. So there'd be a day, I'm sure, within the first like month of working there where I'd be like, I don't really want candy today. I want fries.
It's $100,000 a year, though. So, I mean, I'd do it. It's just a job.
Diabetes be damned.
The job can be remote. Oh, that's cool. Or based in its Canada or New Jersey offices. So
someone should apply.
Yeah, no kidding. It's still open. I checked
earlier. If you don't struggle with food and eating disorder behaviors, because it sounds very triggering.
The chief candy officer will serve as chief candy officer. Head taste tester.
I am the CCO.
Yeah. And they're going to try over, this is where it gets a little, I may be in your camp here. Mm-hmm. They're going to try over 3,500 products each month. Besides eating about 113 pieces of candy a day.
113? Well, because that's the question there then, is like, if let's say it's a Caramello bar, which I love, or a Rolo.
Right.
And it's just like a bite of one, not the whole thing. Like, do they give you like samples? Or yeah, are you getting like these full? Because there's no way they can expect someone to eat. That would be like all you eat.
Got to be on a treadmill the whole time.
Not even that. Just like, that's just not a well-balanced diet.
Right.
Like, you need a variety of foods and candies and whatevers. But yeah, you can't have only candies. Your teeth will just rot right out of your head.
We live in a crazy world.
If someone has been a chief candy officer, tell us what it was like.
Also, they said that job applicants can be as young as 3 years or 5 years old. Now,
that's right.
A lot of money for a five-year-old, first of all.
That's a lie.
No, that's what the article said.
I don't believe you.
Okay, well, I'm just telling
you. He's lying. You can tell by the smirk.
Can you imagine? That's not ethical, giving a kid all that candy.
And the parents are going to make the money after they force feed their child. I was reading an interesting article because I'm writing my book proposal for an eating disorder book that I hope will be called It's Not About the Fucking Food, but we'll see. Dan's kind of conservative. I don't know if my editor will like it. Anyway, I was reading an article because I want the book to be helpful for all types of eating disorders, because many people, you know, like Brain Over Binge is a popular book. I don't really love it, I have to be honest. I don't really like her premise. It's fine. It's fine. If it helps people, that's cool. It's just not for me. But anyway, Brain Over Binge is all about bulimia and binge eating. Mm-hmm. It does not, like, even at the beginning, she's like, this does not help or apply to people who have more restrictive types of eating disorders. She thinks that binge eating is simply a bad habit and applies a lot of the AA kind of tenets to the recovery of it. Whatever, to each their own. But anyways, long story short, I'm trying to toe both lines, or all lines rather, because there's like all sorts of types of behaviors that come along with eating disorders. I fell down a rabbit hole of, am I boring you? Sorry.
No, it's not you. It's the 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's the no sleep
in the morning.
No sleep till the project is done. Anyway, I ran across a few articles and then went down a rabbit hole of research, which happens when people, you know, they have all their references and I'm like, clicky, clicky, clacky. Didn't get any writing done, but did do a lot of reading. And they essentially, I didn't realize this, but in the medical model for physicians, psychiatrists, when they're going through medical school, they're essentially taught, and even if you read in the World Health Organization or the CDC or any kind of organizations that define the terms, the term obesity is defined as someone taking in more calories than they put out.
Oh, I thought it was just you were a percentage over what the standard is.
There's BMI stuff in that related to it as well.
Because I definitely take in more calories. No, I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway, and I'm summarizing like 10 different articles. So just know that it's not in any way full, like my definition and my description. But essentially, that's what they pared it down to. And you read it and you're like, well, yeah, that's essentially what they're saying. And they had a quote from one of the doctors that I think heads up the National Health Organization or whatever. I don't think it was the World Health Organization. Anyway.
National Health Institute? Rachel Walensky? I think
it was the NIH or something. National Institute of Health. Anyway, doesn't matter. This physician was saying, well, yeah, that's the truth, because that's how people become obese. They take in more than they put out. But even as I'm saying that, I'm sure many of you can answer the way I answer, which is like, well, it's way more complicated than that. And that's not the only reason. Mm-hmm. Think of like PCOS, people with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Anyway, so I went down a rabbit hole and learned about, and I'd have to get my laptop out, but essentially insulin and carbohydrates and the way, as one of the articles was very succinct, where the whole premise and the whole research was around the fact that some people's bodies are just different.
Yeah, yeah. Not everyone is as efficient at processing things, just like a car.
Or able to process.
Right. But like, maybe some cars are better able to convert the type of fuel. Maybe you're running with different fuel.
Yeah. And that's essentially what they said. And that's just one of the many problems with mm-hmm. this. Anyway, I went down a rabbit hole about obesity research and how little of it there is and how little representation there is. It's too much. And obviously, none of it was applicable right now to what I'm writing, but I found it very interesting. Mm. So that's, I'll link the articles below. I'll give them to Sean so he can send them over. If you want to go down the rabbit hole like I did, I just found it very interesting. I think there's two articles that are still open on my laptop that I can dish out to you. Random things that I've researched this week.
Your reading is vastly different than mine, but
yeah,
they both have, you know, equal importance. You know, I'm reading about Han Solo pancake. And
I'm reading about why someone might process said Han Solo pancake differently
right.
than someone else and why that might affect their BMI, which is bullshit. I think BMI should just stand for bullshit metric of
information.
Yeah. Good. I like it.
Thanks for that.
We should make a t-shirt bullshit metric.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Anyways, you know, so you're reading about that and it's all.
Make a note. Do you mind if I make a note?
No, I don't make the notes.
That's good, Katie. I'm going to make a note about this one. Yep. That's good. Okay, I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Back in the New York groove. Pow, pow. Anyway, so I was reading about that. I found it fascinating and interesting because I have been working on a video that I haven't released yet or anything because we haven't even filmed it because I can't figure out how to do it properly. But it's essentially talking about being overweight and eating disorders and the connection between them, because I had mentioned on a podcast a long time ago now about how anybody who's overweight to the extent that it causes them like physical issues, essentially, like if you're so overweight that you now have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you can't get around, things hurt that shouldn't hurt, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. If there is not an organic cause, meaning you don't have PCOS or you're not insulin resistant or whatever. I'm not a doctor, so, you know, the list goes on and on. But if that's not a factor, then what you have is an eating disorder. And a lot of members of our community found that freeing yet shocking because they're like, I never thought about it that way, you know, because I don't really binge or I don't really do this. And I'm like, well, wait, do you, you know? And
right.
So anyway.
I guess, correct mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong, is that an eating disorder in my eyes was always you have some behaviors that are mm-hmm. repeating.
Yes.
It's not like a one-time behavior, although no. maybe it could be, but
no, technically cannot be just a one-time thing.
Right. And the behaviors mm-hmm. are detrimental to your system, mm-hmm. your human body, your mm-hmm. form, such that you're doing harm to your body.
So, yes, but also getting in the way of you living your life.
Yeah, exactly. But like you're instead of it leading a natural, healthy life, mm-hmm. you're doing something that is in relation to food. Mm-hmm. So it's eating.
Mm-hmm. Or not.
Mm-hmm. Or not. Yeah. But in relation to the process, right? Mm-hmm. That is just, it's throwing your system out of whack. And that, you know, ultimately it's not good for you.
Yes and no. That's part of it. But you're still missing. It's not just your system.
Yeah.
It's your psychosocial system. So it's like, yes, my body, but my mind and how I interact with the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
But it's detrimental to the human, the vessel, mm-hmm. by the behaviors that are surrounding the act of eating.
Or not eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Around food. Mm-hmm. Mm. Our relationship with our bodies and food. And anyway, so when I was reading those articles, I was like, I could tie this to that video, but I still haven't figured out how to put that video together. Uh-huh.
What? So disordered eating is mm-hmm. a light version of an eating disorder.
Disordered eating is just a nice way of saying you have an eating disorder that's developing.
Ah, okay. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, sorry. I know you talk about it all the time. I don't really put that much stock into it, but I know that sometimes I've had unhealthy relationships with food. Mm-hmm. I think everybody does.
Has.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, that's normal.
Well, what I'm writing about right now, actually, for part of the proposal is the effects, I think, that media as a whole has on our view of ourselves and our bodies and how intertwined not only are we to like comparison factors, media, stuff like that, but it's intertwined into cultures of all types, religions, family dynamics. Like what I was just writing was right before we started filming, is essentially we've all heard, and maybe this did not exist in your household, in which case 10 out of 10 for your parents, but we hear that old adage, like, you got to clean your plate, be part of the clean plate club, or you can't eat that, you can't have this dessert till you eat your vegetables, right? There's all these like things around food trying to get our children to eat healthfully or healthily. However, then I grew up in a wonderful family for all intents and purposes, but my grandmother in particular, who you guys know I love and miss dearly, but she, her way of showing love was to feed you, and she wanted to know that you loved the food, okay? So that was her love language, was through food. And as when I was growing up, and she didn't really do it so much as she got older, but she would walk around the table with, like, let's say it's Thanksgiving, and she'd have like potatoes, like the big thing of potatoes, like a big bowl. And spoon by spoon, she'd say to the person sitting at the table, let's say it was Sean, she'd be like, do you want some more? And boom, as she's asking, she's putting on your plate. So she's not really asking if you want more, she's giving you more. And if you pair that type of what's love for her, right? It's not, these aren't behaviors that are necessarily malicious. And I should probably add that into what I was writing. But it's not that these things are necessarily malicious in intent. However, you pair that with the clean plate club kind of push, and then you can immediately see why children are taught to not trust their bodies.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on there with what you just said. Mm-hmm. It just made me think that I think that there's a generation that dealt with scarcity.
Mm-hmm. I talk about that, like growing up in the Great Depression. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
growing up poor.
So, yeah, so exactly. Modern day version of, mm-hmm. but like there was mass.
Well, my grandma and scarcity. Papa didn't have much growing up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he grew up with dirt floors, and my grandma, right. They would, you know, it was like pre-refrigeration too. So you wanted to eat what you could.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things. Yeah. So there, but that's the whole point, is that there's so many layers to our relationship with food, not to mention things like Ramadan or fasting, where in religious practices, you're good or holy or, you know, worthy if you fast. And if you're not, then what? Like, you're not good enough, or why can't you do this? You're not strong enough. Your faith isn't strong enough. And what message does that send then, right? Well, then if I'm hungry, I'm not eating because I'm doing that to praise my God or to, you know, or to a lot of people. And when I grew up, would fast as a way to, like, I don't know. I was asking my mom about it because I was like, I don't really understand why people fasted. But let's say we had a really bad thing happening in our church. We would all pray about it and you'd fast. So we're going to fast and pray about this. And then we're going to meet up on, let's say this was Tuesday. He'd be like, we're going to meet up for Thursday. We're going to fast until then. And then we're going to make a decision.
Right. And then you have breakfast. Right?
Yeah,
breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Anyway, I'm deep in the woods, Sean. I'm deep in the woods.
What's your favorite way to break a fast, Katie? You like a waffle? You like a pancake?
I like egg. I like egg.
You've been on an egg kick for a while.
Long time.
Yeah.
Went from cereal to egg. Although every once in a while I'll have a hankering for the cereal. My favorite is Kashi's Strawberry Fields. Strawberry Fields forever.
Yeah, I like the Kashi Puffed Wheat myself.
Mm.
That one's a good one. I don't know why.
I know you have very different tastes for cereal than I do. Like, puffed rice is like the worst to me. And you like
shredded wheat, man. Yeah, oh, baby. Come on. Shredded wheat. Oh.
What was it? You used to get Weetabix? And I was like, eh.
Did I get Weetabix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like wheat.
Yeah.
Anyway, all things wheat.
Mine is more like crunchy with some sugar and some fruits.
I tried to make some granola the other day, guys. And while it was delicious.
It was delicious.
I tried to make it a nut-based granola. Mm-hmm. So it had pecan, walnut, coconut, and then
it's
some
not a
secrets.
Nut, but it was just funny, like, going through nut.
No, but
coconut.
But that was part of the recipe. Mm-hmm. See? And then honey, mm-hmm. and some raisins.
And
I got it. I was looking in the oven. You know what bugs me? Is that little screen they put in the oven.
It makes everything look darker than it is or lighter than it is.
Yeah, and you can't really see. You have to move constantly to look through those. And I would assume it's a heat shield. Mm-hmm. They've got to have better material for a heat shield than that stupid thing.
They never have. I don't know.
It's so hard to see in there.
And our oven's only like, what, 3 years old, I think?
Yeah, but you have to move quickly to like look through the holes to get a full picture.
Sean in the kitchen.
That's what I do.
I know. Anyway, what happened? They made the granola.
Unfortunately, like, I was trying to get it crunchy and brown,
mm-hmm.
and then I made it a little too dark. So it's now super crunchy, which I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
But the difficult part about it is that the raisins are like, they'll pull your fillings out.
Yeah, they've turned into like little, molten lava.
Yeah, but it's pretty tasty.
Then they cooled and they're like these chewy, gummy. Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of which, I've got a dentist appointment tomorrow.
Oh, you do? They called.
No, I had to call them. I was sick of waiting. So I said, yeah. I'm going to take the bull by the horns. I'm going to ride it to town.
And going to get that tooth fixed. Yep. You remember, guys, remember he broke his tooth. How did you? Oh, on a cracker.
Yeah. I'll never learn, though. So later that week, I made granola. It's very hard.
Yep.
I like a good crunch.
I think sometimes, especially since you have veneers, every so often they're going to crack. Like Christina cracked her veneer in her front on a spicy tuna hand roll.
That's soft, baby.
I don't think it's about, I think it's about, like I talked to the dentist because I'm there all the time because I've got like 3 more weeks of my Invisalign-y stuff or clear correct. Anyway. Oh, sorry, I touched the microphone. Anyway, the dentist or the dental hygienist that I saw, and I don't know if she's a dental hygienist or what her term, her like actual title is, and I'm sorry if that's wrong. But anyway, she was saying that it's not so much about what it is. It can be what it is and the fact you already have a break. But a lot of times you just have this crack that's slowly working its way.
Yeah.
And it just takes one more push for it to go pew, and shoot off.
Yeah. My grandfather used to give me heck when I was a kid. I would grab the calculator and I'd start pressing buttons on it because I had a printer and it would make all these noises. You could mm-hmm. print in like red ink or, you know, it was pretty cool.
So you'd use all his stuff.
Yeah. And then my grandfather would inevitably swipe it back and say, gosh, darn it, Sean. You know, these things are only built to be pressed so many times before they fail.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Like the button would, you know, you can only
give out.
I was like, you know, he's like.
Because you're a kid.
And you're messing around with his tools, you know.
For work. Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have bought you one for Christmas.
Yeah.
Push all you want.
It's funny, I never became an accountant.
You didn't like the numbers so much as the button pushing. Now yeah. You push them on cameras. Exactly. You push them on mouse.
I do like a good button.
You push a mouse and a keyboard.
I think I push people's buttons sometimes the wrong way, though. So
all the buttons.
Yeah. Okay, shall we get into some letters? Mm-hmm. We do have to wrap it fairly shortly. So
fairly shortly. We just got started.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Fresh as a daisy. Let's see here. Okie dokie. Our first letter is from Karen, and she was so nice. It's a very simple letter, but I will have Sean put this link in the description. If you're interested, the email is titled, Study Sheds New Light on Brain Activity Related to Dissociative Symptoms in Neuroscience News. So it's neuroscienceNews.com. And like I said, Sean can pop the link in the description. It says, hey, Katie, I came across this article tonight and found it very interesting. I know there's varying opinions regarding DID, but glad to see that the research is being done. I agree. Thought you might be interested. Regards, Karen. Thank you, Karen. That's super cool. And I think it is important that it's good that there's at least, like you said, research being done and more that they're learning because, you know, that's just the way it is. And things don't always get done and then we don't learn and we can't get better. But now we get to learn and be better.
Hmm.
Okay. Are we ready?
Oh, well, speaking of DID, uh-huh. and tell me what you think about this. Mm-hmm. I've heard from two people in my life about experiences that are different. And I always thought it was some form of not the supernatural. But
people think it's very like, ooh.
Right. Mm-hmm. So my grandmother, who is honest as the day is long, mm-hmm. told me that when she had given birth to, I'm going to say one of her six kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pick one. I think it was Johnny.
Okay. Right in the middle.
Yeah. And so afterwards, she's lying in the hospital in the bed. And she remembers looking down at herself from the ceiling
mm-hmm.
and just observing herself. And then she heard the doctor coming down the hallway. And she said it felt like someone poured her back into her feet as the doctor was opening mm-hmm. the door. And she was there. And she opened her eyes. She was like, what the heck was that?
Could be dissociation, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then my dad mm-hmm. was in a car accident in his 20s
mm-hmm.
with his cousin Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
And he said...
God damn it, cousin Daryl.
Right. Daryl. That rapscallion.
Mm-hmm. Daryl Lick.
He actually lives in Texas. I have a cousin of my father who lives in Texas.
Wow, we should meet cousin Daryl.
Cousin Daryl. But they were standing on the side of the highway next to a car that they had an accident with.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said that he was looking down at mm-hmm. he and his cousin having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Dissociation. That's what it's like. I think a lot of people assume.
That's so bizarre to me. And mm-hmm. I always thought, oh, it's just because humans are very complex and we're just instruments kind of tuning into, like the physical body is just a,
It doesn't have anything to do with like external.
I don't know. Like what the heck is consciousness? You know, like how are you observing yourself from outside of your body? Like what?
It feels that way.
Yeah, I guess. Cause two different people. And I don't think my mom and my dad and his mom mm-hmm. had shared those stories with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, maybe I'll have one of these. Cause maybe it runs in the family. And I was very excited about this hat, but it's 47 years old now. And
yeah,
I haven't had this.
I mean, arguably you've had dissociative episodes. Cause I'll be like, well, you were talking about something. You're like, I don't remember that chunk of my life.
Where did you put that? I don't know where.
I dissociated. So yours a little different.
Right.
Because what they're experiencing is called depersonalization mm-hmm. out of body. And there's derealization out of environment.
Oh, yeah. And when I put things away, it's out of mind, out of sight. Or out of sight, out of mind, right? Mm-hmm. So I have my own...
own way of stuffing it down.
Yeah. I'm probably doing a terrible disservice whenever you talk about something mental health related. Because I don't know. As a lay person, I'm like, that sounds interesting, but I probably have only a sliver of the information.
But those are people's experiences and they're describing them to you. And that's just as valid as what many members of our community have shared.
I would like to hear of more stories like that. If you've observed yourself from outside of the physical form, mm-hmm. looking at yourself.
We have a lot of people who have, yeah. Feel free to send it to otdmpod@gmail.com.
If that happened in my early 20s, I would have been looking down and be like, oh my God, I'm balding.
Dang it.
And then you see your hand go up, touch your head, you're like, damn.
It's not so much that you see yourself. That's the weird thing. It feels like you're out of your body watching yourself.
That's not how they described it to me. Especially my grandmother, when she said it felt like someone poured her. Mm-hmm. She felt like she was pouring into her toes.
She's and going back into her consciousness, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe the realm of psychology doesn't know that much about this. Like,
when everybody's experience is different,
and
right?
And we're still learning about things. It's not like we've learned everything. So there could be a physical aspect.
Consciousness is not something that you can always like test for or give a survey. Survey says.
I know some people, they don't seem like they're conscious, but they're just sitting there. You never see those people.
But yes, I do see those people. But there's different. So there's the experiences like that your grandma and your dad had. And then me personally, I know I've dissociated because there's chunks of when I was really stressed out. Like I share the example of there was a friend who brought me down to Orange County. It's how I met Sean. And later we had this big blow up fight and it scared the bejesus out of me. And I like black it out. Like I can't remember part. And Veronica, my friend who was with me, was like, you were just like spaced out. I was like,
I'm that way with any argument. Mm-hmm. I just,
but that's kind of,
and I don't remember.
That's why dissociation I like to think of instead of being like, it's this or this, it's like a spectrum. And so the forgetting is called dissociative fugue. Like yeah. I was removed from self enough that I can't remember. And it's protective, right? Because I don't remember that shit. That was terrible. And I was like, what's happening? It's like one of those meltdown moments with someone and I like didn't know how to process it. And I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I take all that. I don't record the information for the most part. So yeah. Therefore, when I talk to someone about uncomfortable things, mm-hmm. I can't recall the details we argued about this or we argued about that. I don't have it.
Yeah.
So I have to write things down, which is strange.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not strange. It's just, it's stressful for you and you don't do well.
Yeah. So I take things offline. Mm-hmm. But Barry, the psychiatrist who I love dearly, he was like, you know, it would be a good job for you, like an EMT or something. You know, you show up on the scene of the accident and after you're done with your job, I don't remember at all. He said, this is the perfect job for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh.
It's still trauma. You still feel it.
Yeah, but.
You have like tension headaches
and throw things out, you know,
but it still affects you, you know, but yeah.
He was joking. He was teasing.
And he's right. Like it would be nice if we could just be like, Control Alt Delete.
I'm just gonna file it and forget about it.
I'm just gonna reboot.
It's exactly how I squirrel things away.
Yeah, but in your brain.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's like I'm gonna tuck this here.
Oh my God, we've made a breakthrough today, Katie.
And I'm gonna forget about it. Where did I put that memory? I don't know. It doesn't exist. Yeah, sometimes he'll be talking about something. I'm like, that's not what happened, remember? And he'll be like, oh, yes, I did. I totally forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my filing system.
It's a little messy in there, a little chaotic.
Have you seen my desktop and my computer? It's got a lot of files.
It's a lot. Everything's open. So many tabs open.
This is how deep the rabbit hole goes. Mm-hmm. sometimes your computer needs help from an outside tech support service.
Yes.
And so then you
relinquish the controls and they get into your.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, wow, you can do that. And then I always think someone can do that.
That's why people hack.
Right. So what I do, though, is I the last time was with Adobe, because Adobe notoriously releases software and it's got issues.
Yep.
And it was wreaking havoc in my whole environment. And my whole world is wrapped up in Adobe because of
all of our editing and yada.
So I gather all my stuff that's on my desktop, all these files, because I want quick access. I leave it on the desktop in an organized but disorganized manner. Like, they're all organized by name and then they're linked into a grid, but that's, you know, about it. And then I have on that desktop a folder that says Adobe takeover. And so I take all my other stuff and I throw it in that folder.
So it's hidden.
Yes. And then what do? I'm like, oh, I'll clean it up later. Later, which is now, I have two of these folders plus a ton of new files on there. But inside those folders are previous desktop files.
Oh.
See how this, there's many layers. And it's almost like, what's that movie with DiCaprio and...
the Inception?
Yeah, it's like Inception on my desktop. Yeah. It's really, and man, that's...
Well, wouldn't you, because, okay, so as a what I would call an organizer slash purger extraordinaire, couldn't you say that if you do not have to go into that file for a certain amount of time, that you could scan quickly and toss it in the garbage?
Oh, 100%. Yes. There's a lot of purging that needs to go on with my filing system, but
yeah.
I just don't have time, man. I don't have time.
I spend, random factoid, I spend around the Christmas time, as we're just watching old movies and stuff, cleaning out my email, because I'll have these old flagged emails that aren't necessary and I just never take the time to purge them.
Not me. I just stuff Google. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a Google server somewhere full of my stuff.
It's just Sean's junk email. You and my mom. My mom has like 48,000 unopened emails. Even just looking at her phone and the amount of emails gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm like, whew. Oh, and she's like, it's all junk. I look at it. I just don't delete it.
When people say inbox zero, I'm like, inbox two plus nine zeros. That's my inbox zero.
See, I have always inbox zero. However, there's like flag things I have to return to, but I've opened them. I've looked at them and like put them in my calendar or whatever for when I need to figure it out.
Compelling.
You know? Okay. We have a letter from our Delaware correspondent.
Okay.
Tina. Says it's just random. This is entitled Just Random. I love random. It says, hi from Delaware. Howdy do. Watching OTDM 132. I'm just relaxing before bed. And I know this is OTDM, but I've been struggling a little. Made a bad, non-conscious choice to not take my medicine. Feeling pretty low, but I have since restarted. Yay! It's just building back up. I always say I go 50 steps forward and 300 back. It can be kind of be that way. That's life. Sometimes we're like, I'm chugging. And you slip on a banana peel, slide back a little. But the important part is you get back up and you're like, I can keep chugging. Versus what we sometimes want to do, which is like, I'm just going to let this banana peel take me out to sea. Don't let that banana peel take you out to sea. Okay. Delaware is pretty boring, but we do have some fun things around. Most of the time, go to Philly or Jersey for entertainment, LOL. The beaches are fun, but only when it's actually warm. I don't have many friends, and I wish you guys were closer. I would definitely want to be friends, but that may just be my BPD talking. It could, but it could not be. Depends on attachment. You know that. I'm still recovering from my back surgery, but making the most of it. I can't sit still that long, and I have to be working or I think too much. That's fair. We all need some healthy distractions. Kids are doing okay. Can't believe it's almost the holidays. You and me both, Tina. This email really has no purpose. I just wanted to send a message and say hi. Good night, Tina from Delaware. Thanks, Tina. And you don't have to have a purpose. It's okay to just write in some random updates and random things. I like it a lot. Okay.
Delaware.
I'm in Delaware.
I would, whenever I think about it, I think about soft shell crabs.
Ooh.
Oh, man. It's just so good.
They're delicious.
That's all I'm thinking about.
So the season four of The Sinner, they're in the East Coast always. I think he's in Massachusetts, I think. Anyway, but for this season four, he's taking like a long sabbatical slash vacation. He's retired, so it's not really a vacation, but like a trip with his girlfriend. And they're up in Maine.
Oh.
And it's funny because I looked it up because it was called...
Is it a French name?
No, it was like Hanover Island or something. And I was like, what? And I kept looking. I'm like, I don't know where this really is, but apparently it's off of Maine. And they filmed a lot of it on that island, but they also filmed a lot in Nova Scotia. Oh. Because Halifax looks a lot like that little island town. And it has a very robust fishing community, which is like part of the story. And I was like, ooh, it just looks really cool anyway. But it also looks very, very cold. So like going there, not in the dead of winter, two thumbs ups. Okay. We have.
Thanks for writing in, Tina.
Yes. Thanks, Tina. We have a letter from Tom. Well, not a letter, but an audio.
Okay.
Tom, the Virginia correspondent again here real quick, following up with a funny story on a conversation I overheard. So this goes back to when I was in the hospital years ago. When I was in the emergency department, this young man from a redneck family came in with abdominal pain. His mom looks kind of rough. She's wearing a nurse outfit, but she's got tattoos on her. And here, the
I like tattoos.
Grandpa shows up and he's got camo, and dad shows up and got the...
Is this my family? I feel like this might be my family. Everybody loves camo from where I'm from. I love camo purse. Okay.
I know you can hardly see your family sometimes.
Sometimes like... they just disappear into the woods. Bye. Although not many people have tattoos, but my cousins and I all have tattoos.
Yeah, people who wear camo, it's like the ninjas of
the
of
Northwest?
The countryside. Yeah.
The countryside. The ninjas of the countryside. Okay. Sorry, Tom. Continue.
See the whole redneck family come in, laying there in pain. And I had a CT scan, and then they took the boy for a CT scan. And here an army of doctors and nurses and phlebotomists comes in, and they tell me they have to admit me and how they need to do some blood work first. And then they move over to this boy on the other side of the curtain. The doctor says to the mom, "Ma'am, I think I figured out why your boy has abdominal pain. There's a substantial amount of stool in his colon, and really need him to move his bowels before we can send him home. The nurse will come in with some medication, and it will be given through the rectal route."
Ooh, an enema.
The boy says, "Mommy, what does rectal route mean?" She said, "Take your pants off." Well, here comes the nurse.
The kid... No explanation, just take your pants off. Poor kid. They're going to get an enema. He's going to learn what rectal route means here in just a hot minute.
He's wearing a Spider-Man outfit. She says, "Okay, Spider-Man, we need you to pull down your bloomers for us." The kid said, "Mom." She said, "Oh, it's okay, sonny. They're just going to give you your medicine a little differently." "What's that?" The nurse's country is convinced. He says, "Well, it's going to go up your butt, sonny, and it's going to make you go poopy." Well, this poor kid, I mean, he's probably feeling bad for me getting these IVs and all this blood taken. And
but not like
you're not feeling bad for him for getting something in his behind. And the nurse is trying to keep him calm. She said, "Okay, now take a deep breath." Well, she shoots the medicine up that poor kid's behind. Next thing you know, about 3 seconds later, you hear, "Oh my God, I can't hold it." He ripped one so bad. I look over and my poor mom looks like she's gonna gag. That time they roll me out of there. I was glad I didn't see the rest of that story go down.
Oh no.
Hey, y'all enjoy the rest of your day now.
Thanks, Tom. I can't believe they would do that in a shared room.
Oh yeah, that's kind of awkward, right?
That's really, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. Did you ever see Last King of Scotland, Tom? Have you seen Last King of Scotland?
No, what is it?
It's a movie. But anyways, there's a scene where the dictator, I don't think he has anything to do with Scotland. I think he's like a dictator in an African nation. But he calls for the doctor, and he's like a terrifying man, right? Like this guy executes his political enemies. And
ooh,
yeah. Okay. But he calls for the doctor, and the doctor's brought to his bedroom. He's like, "Oh, I'm dying." You know, his stomach, and the doctor's examining him and obviously very scared because this is a scary man.
Yeah.
And
I feel like you did make me watch this now that you're talking to me. But continue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's the actor? He played He's from Compton.
What's it called?
He's
again?
Got one eye that's a little weak. The Last King of Scotland.
Okay.
Anyways, the doctor is working on him, and he's lying in the bed, and he thinks he's having like an appendix burst or something.
Forrest Whitaker,
great actor. And so the doctor's working on him, and as he's massaging his stomach, all of a sudden Forrest Whitaker just lets a big ripper, and this terrifying man goes from being like a terrifying man to like
embarrassed and also giggling, probably.
Oh, to just being so happy that this was what the problem was, instead of dying.
Yeah, you know? Right.
But he just had bad gas, and lucky for the doctor, he solved it. You know, by like rubbing his tummy, and then he was in the guy's good graces. Mm-hmm. Right? But anyways.
Oh my goodness! No, I think. I've been lucky, not that everybody needs to know my business, but I've been lucky to never be constipated. Like, I've never had a problem with that ever in my life, but I do, and I won't share my friend's name because she'd probably kill me. But she had shared, this is like years and years ago, with one of her boyfriends, didn't marry him, not her husband now, but she'd gone on this vacation with him and his family and couldn't go poop because the bathroom was like a Jack and Jill bathroom, so it had two entrances, and kind of like you, she's a scared pooper. And so she was like, I feel like everybody could hear me. And like, I'd lock the doors, but like one of the locks didn't always work. And like, she'd be like, and she just couldn't, right? It was like trauma. I was like, did you get up in the middle of the night? She's like, one time, yeah, I tried to go in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Like, poor
Stacey, thing. Is that you?
Poor thing. Oh.
The turtle goes back.
But it was like day four of like this 8-day extravaganza. And I love my friend because the way she described it, she's like, and I go out for breakfast and they've made chocolate chip pancakes, which are my favorite. And I turn to my boyfriend and she goes, I made this conscious decision that if it didn't happen this morning, I had to do something because I can't go another 4 days. Like,
was she gonna?
So she turns to him and let's just call him John. That's not his name. And she's like, John, nothing else is going in here. If something doesn't go out there, I have to go to the pharmacy. And he was like, oh, okay. Like, drove her over to I think it was like a Target or a Walmart or something. And she was all fine.
Oh, okay.
Good. But yeah. I was like, did you go back at the house? And she's like, no, I took it at the store before and then I made him wait and then I went there. I was like, yeah, the pressure to poop.
Yeah.
So scary.
Well, is that Epicac?
No, that makes you throw up.
Why they call it Epipuke and then the other one, Epicac?
Why would Epicac be after? But
I don't know. God.
No, it's like Miralax, I think is what she took, or
coffee.
X-lax.
Oh, X-lax.
Coffee. Yeah. Coffee could do it. But she'd had coffee because I said, well, did you try? She goes, I tried all the normal ways, Katie. I tried them. She already struggles with that anyway, but it was just really funny to me. And I think for a lot of people, you get gaseous sounds like gaseous sounds like
right,
but it's not good.
There's Cassius Clay, who's a famous boss
and
boxer.
Cassius Clay.
No one could touch him because he kept everyone at bay. I wanted to fight him, but he kept sticking it up.
Oh my god. No, but it can cause you a lot of issues. I remember even just having girls, especially in the eating disorder treatment center, because your gastrointestinal system and your digestive system as a whole is like, what the fuck is happening? And so there's always a lot of issues with that. But recently, so my mom watches this show, Dr. Pohl or something. It's like a veterinarian and it's on the Discovery Channel. But anyway, Dr. Pohl, it's like P-O-L. He's a vet it looks very rural, but let's just say like Ohio or something. I don't know where it is. Anyway, I think it's Ohio, but
isn't that funny though? Doctors do really, really well in the city because there's lots of patients, but a vet does really good in the country because there's a lot of animals, a lot of patients.
Yeah, so many different types of patients, right? That's why I'm so amazed sometimes. Even just watching that show, I was amazed. It was this weekend I was watching it because he moves so quickly between like, I'm seeing a cat, I'm seeing a donkey. This person's bringing in their horse. You know, it's like all sorts of things. He's like out in the pastures treating something. And then I'm like, this is a lot to man. And then a cow.
They're like super doctors because they work on so many different systems.
Yeah. Because like, for instance, and this is not what I was going to talk about, but when baby cows are born, there's a certain, and I'm already forgetting what it is, but it's a certain mineral that they need to grow and to
milk.
Well, just to survive.
Okay.
Essentially, boy or girl, doesn't matter. Anyway, or to nurse. It's not they don't get it from enough from the milk, which is interesting to me. I'm like,
where do they get it from? Grass?
It's yeah, when they start eating solid food on their own. So when baby calves are born, they give them an injection of this so that they have enough of it so they can grow and be strong and get to the point where they can actually eat solid foods.
Hmm.
So I don't know about out in the wild. Are there wild cows?
Oh, there's wild cows, man. They party.
Moo. Oh my God. Moo. Moo. Oh my God. Anyway. that should be on a shirt. Anyway. So he had seen these cows be born, these babies, and he gave them the injection, but one of them just stopped being able to stand up. And it was so sad to watch it. It was like trying to go and it couldn't. And he was like, oh, it's low on the whatever it's called. Somebody let me know out there. It just needs another shot. And when I tell you, he boop, gave it the thing. I think it might have been in its mouth even. 5 minutes later, it was like, bloop. It was fine.
Wild.
And I was like, he just went from like shoving a tube up a horse's nose because it has some blockage to shooting this. It was just it's crazy. But the story I was going to tell about the poop was this 90-year-old woman has a 12-year-old cat. And it's an orange cat.
She's sat it since she was 78.
Mm-hmm. And it's like her baby, she said. She's like, my husband's passed away. I'm 90 years old. My kids are grown. They've got their life. This is my family. You know, bring her a little kitty in. It's quite a rotund kitty. It's very loved. Anyway, hasn't pooped in like 5 days. And she's and it was like it was not happy. And so they were going to do what Tom said they did to that boy. They're going to give it an enema and make it poop. But they get it into one of their little kennel things, and there's a bunch of cats in there, and you hear them like, and they're making all sorts of crazy noises, and it walks in there, and it looks out like, because they're filming it, and sometimes those, the camera operator really capture a good moment, and the cat's like, and then it goes to the little litter box in there and like takes the biggest dookie ever, and the vet assistant comes in, and she's like, she goes, I guess we scared the shit right out of So that could have worked too. Just, you know, put a child in with a bunch of other crazy children making crazy noises and they'll be like, I'll go myself. Thank you.
Right.
These are your options. Up the butt, water, in the toilet, scare it right out of you. Roxy's bored. She's already snoring. But anyway, it was funny. I mean, when he was telling that story, I was like, oh my God, I just watched that happen to a cat. They were planning it. They were ready. And it was like, I'll take care of it myself. And then the vet told her just to give the cat Miralax, which is what humans take.
There you go.
Just a little bit with its food. Been regular ever since. They follow up. I like that too.
They call the house. I'd like to talk to your cat, please. Hold on. Sounds good.
Right. Sounds good. Everything's good. But yeah, then it made me think as I'm watching this, I'm like, I wish animals could talk to us and tell us what's wrong. Because sometimes she'll have something up when I won't know what it is. Or like today she was acting particularly strange. And usually the answer is she needs a nap.
Right.
I've learned.
Oh, I wonder if the Neuralink, if there'll be a pet hack. So you tunnel into your, or your dog tunnels into your head.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey.
You know what she'd be saying?
Katie.
Buy more treats.
Ruff. Yeah.
Treats. Like what's that Amazon commercial where the dog is barking and it's talking to Alexa and it's like ordering more something puppy chow or whatever. He's like, stop it. He's yelling at his dog. He's like, two flats of it's like treats and it's like ordering all sorts of shit. What is that commercial? But I think it's an Amazon commercial. But I don't know what she would say because I thought she wanted to go on a WALK. I don't want to wake her when you offered it before we started. And she was just like, she was just could not be like, I don't know.
She needed a nap.
She needed a nap. She's like a toddler sometimes. And she just needs to be like, I think you need a nap. You're
well, time out.
Yep. Just take the time out. Oh my God. Last thing. I have a very embarrassing story.
Ooh.
I'm only sharing because I just did the timeout thing. Do you ever have times in your life where you're like, your brain's just not working?
I plead the fifth.
Me too. One time I was playing basketball. So I played basketball for a short. I never really liked it. No offense. People like it. I can't watch it. I don't like to play it. Sean and I tried to play horse once. It was horrible. 0 out of 10 would not do it again. Anyway, I played it through like middle school, maybe played it for like 4 or 5 years, let's say. part of, I don't even know, like elementary and middle school. Anyway, I was out on the court and my coach had said something like, call a timeout, call. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. And he was like, he was moving his hands around. He's like, just do a timeout. And he just did this quick gesture. And so I clapped my hand. I like didn't know what he was trying to gesture. And then he was like, no. And he like slowly, and I was like trying to mimic. I'm like watching, but the game is happening, right? So I'm like, like all the symbols.
The YMCA.
He's like, Katie, no. And I was like, hey, Macarena. Anyway, it took about like, it felt like forever, but I think it was like two or three of me being like, what? And I was like, oh, timeout, a T. Because he was doing it sideways too. He was doing like the it was one of those like, obviously stuck with me as a very idiotic Katie moment, but the timeout was called crisis avert. I had the ball, so it was okay. Nothing was really happening, but it was just a funny like 15 seconds of my life where I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to do.
I mean, that moment right there, it's burned into your brain, right? Mm-hmm. You remember it very closely.
Yes.
I wonder if there's similar events happen to other children, but this did not affect the rest of your life the way some children, it could have affected their lives. Like you've moved on. You clearly remember it.
Oh, yeah.
But what if there were people out there who once they learned the timeout signal, they went on to be professional referees or coaches? Right. I mean, what if Bill Belichick has, you know, this has a very similar story.
My sleeves were in the way. I just can't wear sleeves. I have to cut them off.
You know? You never know what changes the path of your life.
Do any of you have some of those like life altering moments? Mm. Send them in to otdmpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. I wish we knew what Hitler's was and then we could have
caught him there.
Yeah, caught him at that moment. Snip. Why is he such a bastard? What made this person such a jerk, you know?
Not even just a jerk.
Little Joey Stalin, you know?
Right? I don't know what's wrong with those people.
I know. If you could just correct the behavior before they go off the rails.
You could say they're just sociopaths.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like nature versus nurture. And we don't really know. It's a combo of both usually.
I would assume there's just naturally born bad people. Rotten people. I've run into a couple of odd people. You're like, that's a bad person.
Well, even I've had like friends who aren't friends anymore, obviously. But where there's just this lack of empathy for other people. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Like narcissists are that way too, where they just don't feel for other people. They think about themselves and there's varying degrees of it, right? Like one of my friends who I'm not friends with anymore might like interrupt something someone else is doing for a reason that's not really important in general, but it's because it's theirs because they're a narcissist and they could do that. And while me, I'm like mortified and like, I'm like, time out. I don't, all the signs. So there's that level. And then there's like, obviously, you know, Dahmer, Stalin, Hitler, whoever you want to.
We had a terrible person as a young adult in our friend group. It was just I wouldn't even call this person a friend, but they were in the group before I was. Uh-huh. And the person would give me the willies. I did not like being around them at all. Mm-hmm. And it took me moving away to get away from, but the person was so bad and no one wanted to get rid of the person.
Because they're terrifying.
They were a little scared of this person, you know, and they'd always invite themselves along. It was like,
yeah,
you know, you're like, oh my God, not this person again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them, but you didn't want to say, hey, don't invite so-and-so because you're worried about this person being a nut job.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yep. Ooh. People that give you the willies. Do you guys have any stories of that? Send them in to otdmpod@gmail.com. We have, I think, like four more letters. Mm-hmm. So we'll be caught up by next week. So feel free to send in your updates and your things. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Share it with a friend. Listen with a friend. Do all the things with friends. Get out there. Meet people. Connect.
Don't lick a toad.
No toad licking.
That's the lesson for today.
That's the lesson.
What other lessons were there, Katie? Don't lick a toad.
Go poop and regularly.
Yes.
This is how you say timeout.
Perfect.
So many lessons.
You learn a lot here. That's what people say. I learn a lot at that podcast.
It's why we check education on the type of podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Always. Okay, so love you guys.
The winner for the education podcast for 2023 is not OTDM.
No.
Damn it.
Any other podcast. Have a good weekend. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.